Hey guys, it's Kayla Yule from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new KFC fried chicken nuggets now, available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.
Yeah, I have a book coming out next spring. And she's like, well, what is it about? Parenting?
Is that what you told her?
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And I am John R. Bray.
We are 1 week out from Election Day.
Which could be good, could be bad. I have not voted yet.
I have.
I'm going actually today. I'm going to go do early voting. You do vote by mail?
This year is the first time I've ever done that. Cowboy is a very technologically savvy person. And really, he and every other engineer that I know really distrust electronic voting because it can be hacked so easily.
Yes.
And there are voting machines in Texas that are currently changing votes.
Are those the, I was just talking to my dad, are those the ones where when people are voting straight ticket Democrat, they're changing to Republican?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I saw a thread yesterday from an official Texas voting Twitter account that said that basically what's happening is they're voting straight ticket and they're going immediately to the next screen and that first screen isn't fully processing.
So they're jumping ahead. That's, oh my
God. Yeah, the machine should stop them, shouldn't it, from jumping ahead before it processes the what they're trying to vote for. But apparently,
what,
that's
like every other machine.
Yeah. So it happened to a very prominent feminist activist who was in Houston, and she voted straight ticket, and then she got to the judges part. You know, the judges are sort of not affiliated with your party, and she went back through the ticket and noticed that her vote for Beto O'Rourke had been changed to Ted Cruz. Oh. So she had to go back and manually redo the whole ballot. And she was like, red alert, red alert, red alert, everybody in Texas, please take note.
So let's say it wasn't processing. Fine. Like, let's just say that's right. But wouldn't you think then the default would be to not vote for anyone? Like it would just clear out the vote? So the default is Republican? Because that's kind of fucked.
I think what it was doing was basically reverting to alphabetical order is what it was doing. Or who was ever first on the ticket.
Ah, okay.
I mean, it's a simple fix. But, you know, these voting machines are old. If you've done any sort of research, there's a cartoon going around. If you ask any programmer, like, you know, well, electronic voting, of course. And programmers are like, no, 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 no. It's the worst idea ever. Worst, 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 worst. Paper ballots are the only way to ensure that your vote is cast as it should be cast. And on top of that, all of these initiatives and ballot measures and propositions, you can do your research. Like, there are websites in Utah that talk about each proposition and the pros and cons and how certain people are voting and what this would do. And like, I sat down with my ballot for over an hour and a half and went through every proposition, and I studied the judges and the school superintendents, and like, I really did a lot of work filling out that ballot, which I wouldn't have been able to do. Yeah. So,
wow.
But not every state has a mail-in ballot. There's early voting, there's absentee voting, but then, of course, election day voting. I just wanted to make sure that it got in and that I was voting the right way for every single thing.
Well, I think, though, that alone is one of the biggest issues, is that we're all living in the same country and voting. I mean, granted, there's different local elections, but voting in the same election, and there's no consistency. From state to state, there's not, and I think where I vote, it's weird. I think it's electronic, but it also like prints a copy.
Yeah.
But as we were talking, I think the only time that the printed copy is actually consulted is if there's some sort of issue or discrepancy. Yeah. So it's still electronic, but you have a paper copy to look at, which I'm sure is just a false sense. I guess if someone really wanted to hack it, they could just hack the digital file and the printed file would sit there. And unless someone said something, then it's just crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. I mean, I'm still going to vote, even though it's not an ideal system. But
are you going to vote on Election Day?
No. I'm going to go probably today or tomorrow. And so it's Tuesday, so a week before the election. And there is early voting, I don't know, within 20 minutes of my house or something. So I'll probably go there. Last time I did that for the presidential election when I voted for the person who should have won. And it was like the line was super short. It was really easy. I didn't feel like there was a lot of pressure because there was a huge line or anything. So it was nice. I liked it.
Well, I've always felt really bad about when you get to the, when I get to the judge's part.
Okay.
Like you have, like, should this justice stay in their seat or should this justice be in the seat? Like there were like 12 justices up for re-election and I don't know anything about any of these people, but I know a shit ton of lawyers in town and that's who I consulted, you know?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And
yeah, those people I don't know.
Yeah. And I've always gotten to that part of the ballot and gone, I don't know anything about this. Like, and so this year, like I did my civic duty this year. Like I did my research and I think a lot of people have. It, at least it's encouraging to read about how many people have already voted and who are asking for absentee ballots and whatnot. So
yeah,
I am not crossing fingers. I'm not getting hopeful. I am just like, okay, I voted and the pessimist in me, I'd like to say the realist in me, the realist is like, okay, so because I remember how devastating 2016 was and what it did to my ability to function. And it's like, okay, I still have to carry on with my life.
It's hard. I mean, I've already seen, and I've kind of backed off of Twitter a bit, but I've already seen a lot of people talking about, which I really appreciate, and kind of saying, not when this doesn't go the way that we hope, but if it doesn't, here's the plan that we need to start putting in place now, rather than, you know, January. Like we need to assume that it's not going to go well and figure out what we need to do if it doesn't go well, which is smart. Even if you look at like Beto O'Rourke, like if, let's say he doesn't win, I hope he does, but let's say he doesn't. The fact that he is even this close to winning in Texas is incredible. Like that alone is a massive step forward.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly he needs to win. That's the ideal. But I think just to try and find some positive in it, it's pretty incredible already.
Yeah, the energy around this midterm election, I have not experienced it in my life. I haven't witnessed it. I haven't experienced it. I haven't felt it. This is the first time a midterm election feels like just as important as the presidential. By the way, so you texted me last night that you got an email.
I did. It's that time of year where
it's
we get to
that lovely time of the year.
Yeah. You know, you've got the holidays and renewing your healthcare coverage. And it's going to suck because it's just how it is.
So you go through healthcare.gov.
I do.
Okay.
And you go through healthcare.gov, but indirectly, right?
Indirectly. My accountant put me in touch with an agent at a company called Select Health, and they have different levels of care, and because I'm not going to qualify for any subsidies. So going on to the exchange is sort of difficult for me. I'm not going to be able to claim any sort of subsidy at all. And so I go through an agent each year, and oh my God, I got the letter this morning.
With the update or just saying that they're going
with
to be
the update.
Oh,
with the
yeah.
Update. So I went to my mailbox. And let me just prepare you. I don't want you to hate me.
Oh, no.
I went to the mailbox and I see the letter and I see how thick it is. It came in like a normal Select Health envelope, so which my bills come in or my statements come in, but it was thicker than normal. And I haven't been to the doctor in a long time, and like it was addressed to me. And I was like, oh no, oh my God, there it is. There it is. So I go and I get all my packages, all the books that people send me, and I put them in my car and I sit in the front seat of my car and I'm like, do I open this? I don't know. What am I going to do? Like, it's like one of those things where it's like, if I see the number, is the rest of my year going to be ruined? I was just like, when do I open this? I don't know what to do. And then there was just the compulsive Heather part of me where it was like, I just ripped it open and I was just searching for the number, searching. And it's the same plan, which is a huge downgrade from last year, but that's fine. It increased by $5.80.
That is amazing, because last year it increased by like, did double or something?
It almost doubled.
It was insane. Yeah.
It almost doubled. So I literally looked over my right shoulder and I looked over my left shoulder and I wanted to check and see if the car was bugged. I was like, this can't be right. And I kept reading it over and over again. Like, I was like, it says 2019. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like $5.80 is what it increased. Like, how can that be right? I don't know.
That's pretty great. And do you, for this agent, you said Select Health?
Yeah.
Is that something you pay for? Like, do you pay them a commission? How does that work?
Because
that sounds pretty great.
I'm sure he gets a commission off of it, for sure. But he's the one who sends me the letters. And you can always sign into the Select Health website, and they have different tiers. And I could get a cheaper plan and have less coverage, or I could get a more expensive plan and have more coverage. But what we have is working. You know, so
it's a relative term, really.
Relative term.
Yeah.
Like this last week, I think we talked about this. Dental coverage does not cover dental at all. And I dropped so much money. I could have bought a car on dental shit.
Yeah. Teeth are so expensive.
Like, getting her cavity filled was almost $200.
Yep.
A tiny, 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 itty bitty cavity. And then Lita needed an eye exam, and all of that is out of pocket. They do not cover eye health at all.
Yep. It's different on my end only because Lexton is under Heather's insurance, and she has very good insurance. So he has good coverage, which is excellent. I realized I really have to get this figured out. So the whole heart thing that happened with me last year,
yeah.
I was supposed to go in for like a follow-up. Definitely didn't do that. I was not going to be covered. It was just insane. And I was already staring at these massive bills that just kept pouring in. And so I never went. But I realized that now I have to have my wisdom teeth taken out at some point. And there's a good chance, if I don't go for that follow-up appointment and make sure there's nothing wrong, that they won't put me under because of concerns with the heart. So it would just be more of local.
Oh my God.
I can't be, even if I can't feel it, I can't be awake for that. There's no way.
No.
There's absolutely, I will pass out and then jolt back. I can't do it.
You'll be able to feel the pressure of them pulling the tooth out of your face.
I don't even like the sound of having my teeth scraped like at a regular cleaning. So there's just... No, I mean, I literally will push my head back into the chair and grab the armrest like white knuckle, to the point where they usually ask me a couple times per appointment if I'm okay, if I'm in pain. I'm like, no, I'm fine. All good. So I really need to get that figured out. I think my current coverage, because I changed it, I think I can go in and talk to them. But I don't know. I mean, now it's been like 10 months. I don't know how that works. I don't know.
You're definitely going to be put under if you're getting your wisdom teeth taken out.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want to remember any of it. I don't want to be... Nope. Nope. So, and I really don't think it is a thing, but I know that if they look and see that, then they're going to err on the side of caution and, you know. So I do need to meet with a cardiologist at some point.
Oh, God. The name cardiologist, like, cha-ching, cha-ching,
oh, yeah.
Cha-ching.
Theoretically, the plan that I have now is in network with the cardiologist I have to see, so it should only be like one cha-ching instead of 10, mm-hmm. But I don't really know. And theoretically, it will also just be like a consultation sort of appointment, so maybe an hour. Mm-hmm. Like, so I guess worst case, it would be several hundred instead of several thousand.
Right.
But I don't know. Just another thing. I just wish, I feel like it would be nice if this whole process was more like mid-year. Mm-hmm. It just seems like a really terrible time to put it.
Right.
Right at the end of the year, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, and this, because it's a big thing.
And Halloween.
Yeah, well, yes. For those of us who now dress up, Jesus, that was weird seeing that pop up on Instagram. Holy shit, it's Heather in a costume.
I dressed up. I did.
You did. You went all out.
I went all out, yeah. And that was fun only because I wasn't dressed up as like some weird wacky clown thing. Like,
you mean a sexy clown
or sexy clown, or yeah, you know, like something with like a giant hat or a mask or something like that. I really enjoyed the outfit. It wasn't over the top. It was elegant. Dressed up, went out and went to a party, and people at the party were like freaking out because I looked quite evil.
I was gonna say it was very sinister, yeah.
And then we went to a local bar afterwards, and people were flipping out. We even ran into two handmaids and got our pictures with them. Yeah.
So was this a theme? Like, was Cowboy?
He was the
dressed to match.
He was dressed to match. He was dressed as Captain Waterford. Okay. I was dressed as Serena Waterford from The Handmaid's Tale. And yes, there's a picture of me on my Instagram account. And I mean, I was dressed to the nines, the whole thing. There's a full-length cloak that goes from my head to the floor. That's the first time I've dressed up. I don't even remember the last time I dressed up.
Yeah, you've never been a big Halloween fan.
So this is sort of related. There was a meme on Twitter last week that it said, "Forget everything else, forget everything else." The tagline of the movie that was number one at the box office on the day you were born is the theme of your life.
Okay.
So and there's a website that you could go to and look it up. And on July 19th, 1975, the number one movie at the box office was Jaws. And the tagline is, "You'll never go near the water again."
Oh, wow.
Which is funny, because I don't swim. Like, I don't go swimming on vacations with my children. I just sort of sit next to the pool, or I sit next to the ocean.
In the shade.
Because I hate the whole process of sunscreen and protecting my skin, and I hate getting my hair wet, and it's just a thing. Like, my kids are always asking, "What is going on? Why doesn't mom get in the water?" I don't want to get in the water.
Right.
And I
don't ask.
We were sitting at breakfast we made pancakes on Saturday morning, and we started talking about this, and Lita's like, wait a minute. You wore a costume, and now we find out this about the Jaws thing. Like, what happens if you start shoveling snow? Like, the world's going to end.
Oh, man. You could. Maybe you'll find joy in it.
Maybe
you'll like to shovel snow. Yeah, that would be a little bit of a bad sign, I think.
Halloween is a thing because there's Halloween carnivals at school, and Lita wants to go to some parties and some trick-or-treating, and she wants to dress up, and Marla, of course, wants to go trick-or-treating, and it's a thing. And it's a thing in Utah. I think we talked about this last year. Like, Halloween is a thing in Utah. People go bonkers for Halloween here.
Which is really strange to me.
Yeah, the New York Times ran a story on it last weekend. Spotify did some analytics on Halloween music, and by far, all of the Halloween music is played in Utah. Most of the streams are from Utah. And they interviewed a DJ here that was like, yeah, like, he was already in costume last week. And he's like, yeah, it sort of takes us outside of what we identify as and lets us be something else for a day or a month.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. It just, I don't know. Seems like a weird state to be so into Halloween.
So in terms of figuring out a healthcare plan, you've got Halloween, you've got Thanksgiving, you've got Christmas, you've got all the planning for all of that. You got taxes. Like, it's just all, this season is so fraught with the heaviness of what has to happen in life.
Exactly. There's just so much already going on that I feel like it's kind of an arbitrary. I mean, I get it. It's like a new year, a new whatever, but you could still do it at the mid-year point. I mean, you could do it in March. Like, it doesn't really matter. I don't know. And there's always stuff going on. It's not that there's really an ideal time, but I do genuinely feel like the last 2 months of the year are pretty chaotic.
Yeah.
And the election, although that's not necessarily
and the
an
election,
annual thing, but.
Right? Yeah.
I have to, this is semi-related, I guess. You were talking about The Handmaid's Tale, so it works. I was out at a cafe, like, I don't know, Thursday or Friday or something, and working while eavesdropping, because that's what you do. And there were these two women beside me that were, one was, I don't know, probably 60, and then one was maybe, I don't know, a little older than me, like maybe in her 40s or something. And they were both talking, but they were talking about a Halloween party. And the younger woman had gone to a party, and she is, I don't know what she does. She was just talking about how she's kind of a professional presence in the community. So whatever she does, I don't know.
A professional presence.
Like she's kind of a known, so I don't know if she's like a prominent real estate agent, like the kind of face that people know in this community.
Okay.
That's how she was portraying herself. I don't know. And she went to a Halloween party, and I don't know what her costume was, but apparently she wore a low-cut shirt. Okay, so I'm just listening to this as I type. And it's a fairly benign story. And then she gets to the point where there was a guy there who I think she knew who was kind of filming the party, like taking a video on his phone or something. So I guess filming is totally dated. But he like stopped at her and zoomed in on her boobs because she had a low-cut shirt on. And everyone kind of laughed about it and went on. And then he posted it on Facebook.
Oh, my God. So,
but this, which exactly, that was kind of my response. But then the direction of the conversation was just awful because it was basically these two women for 15 minutes making excuses for the guy and how, well, he was just, I mean, he was having fun. I get it. You know, I totally understand. And it was kind of like the entire time, both of them kind of talking themselves into thinking that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
When the woman was clearly, for one, uncomfortable with it, and for another, really uncomfortable with the fact that it was posted online.
Yeah.
But they're both sitting there like, I felt like if you had removed the context of the boobs, like they were talking about a deviant five-year-old. Like, yeah, it was just funny, and he didn't really mean anything. And I didn't say anything because that's kind of weird to eavesdrop into a conversation. But I felt like jumping in and just being like, there's no way that that's normal or okay at all. Like, it doesn't matter the situation. Like, you're clearly not okay with it. So it's kind of a dick move.
Yeah. But do you see what we're conditioned to do?
I know. That's what was so, yeah. I think I've known that and I've heard that, but to actually see that play out was kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Like listening to them talk themselves into why it's okay to be objectified.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy because you know that the guy who recorded that was not sitting somewhere with another guy talking about how it was really probably not okay. Like that doesn't happen.
He's showing the video to his friend going, look at what happened on Friday night. Look
exactly.
What I got. Yeah.
It's, I mean, it was just, and I guess the reason I bring it up is because we're, you know, you mentioned The Handmaid's Tale and we're thinking about the election. And it's like that mindset is still out there because women have been so conditioned to be second rate. And it's really,
we're conditioned to make it so that we don't make men uncomfortable.
Right. Or that you're less important. Yes. Like that your feelings are less important. And I mention it because then I think like that's the kind of feeling that goes in for some, not for all, but for some into voting. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, well, my husband is voting for this person and I should probably just vote for him. Or, well, this guy's really not that bad. I mean, that's what guys do. And it sucks that that's still the attitude. I get it. I totally get it. But that's such a huge deficit in our culture. The fact that we've let that continue. And it was weird to sit there and just kind of witness it firsthand.
Yeah. Yeah. When you hear, I mean, I've had those conversations. I've been part of those conversations. I've made excuses myself. We talked about this. There was a thread on Twitter where someone talked about, you know, everyday situations women find themselves in can, on the turn of a dime, turn into something extraordinarily dangerous where it isn't the same for men. And she described how she had listed her washing machine on one of those, like, next door or
those. We didn't talk about this, but I saw that thread.
You saw it, right?
Yeah.
Where she has to make a split second decision where she's like, you know, I don't want people coming into my house unless my husband's home. And this guy shows up and she has to make this decision. Do I let this guy in to see my washing machine? And she has to assess it within a split second.
Right.
And then, you know, the story unfolds where he clearly was there to either harm her in some way, or at least just terrorize her.
Or get something out of the interaction.
Yeah, get something out of the interaction that was unseemly. And it's those split second decisions, you know, it's the walking to your car with your keys in between your fingers and making sure of your surroundings all the time. That's interesting that you overheard that conversation, it's interesting that you had the urge to be like, hey guys, no, come on, stop.
I mean, and there's part of me that like regrets, because they were sitting right next to me and not whispering, like it was a full volume conversation. So even if I wasn't trying to listen, you can't ignore it. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't have been like I was really invading in a personal moment, but it felt weird to intrude. But I also feel bad for not having said that as a guy, like, hey, I don't know the whole story, but it sounds like it's probably not okay what he did. And you don't have to think that it is. I'm sure it would not have gone down very well at all. So in reality, it's probably for the best. But I still feel like I don't know.
You should have leaned over and been like, that guy's a dick.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Kendra Adachi from the Lazy Genius podcast, and I am so excited that the new KFC chicken nuggets are here. You have never had nuggets like these before. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe, and absolutely delicious. They have become a go-to favorite the kids love to fight over, and I hope they make dinner easier and more fun for you too. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
I don't know. It was interesting because I think those are the things that I always, like, I read those threads on Twitter or I hear these stories, but to actually hear that interaction happening was really eye-opening. And I just hope we can eventually get to a point where that's not the case, where we don't have to treat men like five-year-olds, because good Lord.
Yeah. It's, I think the more that we talk about it and the more that we share about our own, what women have collectively been through over the course of our lives, and the more that men realize, oh, wait a minute, this is really not an isolated incident. This is something that you deal with on a daily basis. Oh my God, I had no idea. And it's like, yeah, this is something that we deal with and we make excuses for constantly, constantly.
And I know that I also would have stayed quiet, although I hate admitting it, if I was sitting next to the guy who filmed the video showing his friend, talking about how awesome the video was, I wouldn't have said anything. Mm-hmm. I know that about myself, and it's not the right thing to do or not do, but I think that is where the biggest change needs to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I could have said something to these women, and even if they blew it off, like even if they thought I was just being rude, they would have remembered it in some capacity.
Right.
But it's not them who needs to change. And if I was sitting next to the guys and I said something, they'd probably think I was a dick and move on and whatever. But if enough men say those things to men, it will start to stick. It just mm-hmm. will, because it becomes the norm to think that's not the norm.
Right. But it's hard. You know, it's hard to insert yourself that way. It's important work. It's hard work. It's uncomfortable for a lot of us, especially those of us who don't like conflict.
Well, yeah. Those of us who don't like conflict, especially with strangers. I mean, conflict with people you know is one thing, but I don't know. I guess conflict with a stranger in a public place is relatively benign, or can be. Or as a man, it can be. Probably not so much as a woman.
What was funny is we were walking out of the bar on Saturday night, and these girls saw me. I guess they were old enough to go in the bar, but I'm assuming that they were in their young 20s. They're early 20s, and they were like freaking, they're like, oh my god, look at you, oh my god, we love you. And they looked at him and they're like, we hate you.
Oh my god. Oh, that's awesome.
Which I thought was, and they could have been tipsy or whatever, but I thought that was pretty ballsy of them to do that, like to say that to him. Like, he hadn't said a word. He was just like, I turned around and they were like, can we get our picture with you? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And they turned to him, we hate you.
That is so great. And he just went with it, I'm sure.
Yeah, he did. He just nodded. He nodded. He's a detestable character. So, yeah.
So I guess it's normal for them to hate mm-hmm. the person he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess on this topic, I mean, we did that episode several episodes ago about talking to our kids about consent and whatnot, and asked people for recommendations on guests. And we got several via email, via Twitter. I think we got some on Instagram. So even if we have not responded to you yet, please know that we saw those and we're definitely looking at them. I just think that's worth mentioning because it is something where the conversation needs to continue and continue and continue and continue. Even after things change, conversations need to happen.
Yes, and I wrote a post on my website last week apologizing to people if they haven't heard from me in months, like responding to email. Like, your week last week and my week last week were, and this week is not much better. It's just one of those things where another thing happens and another thing happens and another thing happens and another thing happens, and then I'm at the eye doctor for 4.5 hours, and like, and then I have to travel and have to drive 45 minutes back to the dentist, and we're there for 2.5 hours. Like, it just is like one thing after another, after another, after another. And you get to the end of the day and you're like, what did I do? What did I do?
Yep. I did. I will say I kind of reached this weird state of zen at the end of last week where
really
it was like there was so much happening. And I think what it was is that some wonderful human being hit my car in a parking lot.
Oh.
And didn't leave a note. And I think I noticed it like 2 days after the fact. And it's not terrible. It's like a dent and a scratch. It's not anything that disables the door or anything at all. But I saw it and my immediate reaction, like I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, well that happened. And just got in the car. Because there was no note, there was no car beside me anymore, so it was kind of impossible. I knew where I was at the time, didn't have any cameras, so I just left. And like, then I called insurance, and yeah, I'm like, yeah, it's fine. So then I go and see, well, it's a small dent, and it's like, literally, it's 2 inches. It's not big, it's just something I can notice. So I go to a body shop to get a quote, it's $800. Yeah. He told me, he's like, well, we can get you in next week. I'm like, yeah, it's really not that bad. I'm just going to keep it like that. But I genuinely, even now, I don't really care because I just don't have, the energy. It's like the shrug emoji, like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's not even like I say, well, in the big picture, it's just, I don't even have time to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it frustrates me. I don't like the fact that people do that, but I don't know. I have healthcare to pick out.
I mean, we had that episode last week about, you know, being a happy parent, and my God, I have assigned so many chores to my kids over the last week.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, I was just unapologetic about it. I'm like, you're doing this and you're doing this and you're doing this. And the thing is that after taking away Marlo's iPad, she is eager to help. And I'm just like, okay, well, go do this. Well, go do this. Go do this. She started raking fucking leaves. Like, let me rake your leaves. And I'm like, okay, here's the rake. Go rake
like,
leaves.
Like, she was enthusiastic about it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
she was,
man.
She was stoked about that. But I think there was this look on my face. So when we, part of the reason that the eye doctor took so long, we go in and I've been at every eye exam for the last 4.5 years. So I know how everything works. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. I'm just going to reveal this really quickly. Someone told Lita that I have bad eyesight and I'm really sensitive about it and I won't do anything to get it taken care of.
What?
And Lita told me this and I was like, what? I think that person has me confused with someone else. And she's like, well, no, he said that you were like have terrible eyesight, but you're really, 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 really sensitive about it. And I was just scratching my head about that.
You couldn't survive with terrible eyesight?
No.
Like, even if you were really self-conscious, you really couldn't get by.
Yeah. So what they do, they have her sit down in a chair and then she's looking at a mirror and the letters are on the opposite wall and they're backwards. So when she's looking through these little things that they use to figure out her prescription, she's looking into a mirror to see the letters.
Right. And they're like twice the distance away because they're on the back wall and there's the mirror.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So, but what I did is, you know, I sat at the back end of the room and every time that he would say, okay, let's do your right eye, I would like cover my left eye and I would look at all the small letters and I could still see everything. Like I could see every single letter. And she,
so you were getting like a 2-for-1 deal. That's what you were
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah.
And he was messing with that machine and messing with it and messing with it and messing with it. And she could not read a single letter on any of the screens.
Oh damn, really?
Yeah. And I could feel like the panic just like seizing my body. Like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like what? So he looks at me and he says, you know, is this the prescription that you had from 2 years ago? And I was like, yeah, I took the prescription down to Lens Crafters. And he said, so he's filled it with it again. She still can't see anything. So he's like, I'm going to go check. So he goes to check the prescription on the glasses. Lens Crafters gave me the wrong fucking prescription 2 years ago.
She's been wearing the wrong prescription?
Yes.
So this is not funny. I'm not meaning to laugh.
No.
She's had like extra shitty vision and just assumed that was as good as it's going to get because she already had glasses on. Mm-hmm. That is awful.
Oh my God. I turned to the guy and I'm like, do I sue Lens Crafters over this? And he's like, I don't know. He's like, even it's actually a stronger prescription than we prescribed.
Wow. Which can be damaging to your eyes, can't it?
Yeah, I feel terrible. And so he started over. And so he started with new measurements and whatnot. And she was starting to read the letters. And like, I could feel my temperature coming down. And like, I could feel my heart rate coming down. And like, she was able to see. And like, he was able to write a prescription for her that would work. And I took it. So this is one of the best eye centers in the country. And definitely the best in Utah. Like, it's really hard to get into it, especially as a kid. You have to like get on a waiting list. So I took it down to the center there at the eye center to get them filled at there. And they bring out one of the guys and he must have seen the look on my face. And he was like, how can I help you? And I was like, I need to get a prescription. He's like, do you have insurance? And I showed him my insurance card and he's like, yeah, we don't take that. I'm like, okay. And he says, you know what? I'm going to give you the discount. And like, I got like a screaming deal on her lenses. Screaming
like insurance
deal.
Discount? Like if they had taken your insurance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He must have seen the look on my face. And fast forward to later that day, when I'm with the kids at the dentist. And mind you, I have already, they convinced me to buy their in-house dental insurance last Monday, which would cover it would cover all three of our cleanings that day, all the x-rays, and then it would cover the next cleaning as well. And then she said, well, and since you have to come back for the cavity and the sealants, they put sealants on kids' teeth now.
Yep.
It'll cover all of that too. It'll cover, at least it'll cover the sealants. So you should get, you should definitely get the insurance. So I laid down some cash for that insurance.
Oh yeah. And, but less cash than what it would have been, right?
Right. So I go to check out. The kids are, you know, they give the kids stuff at the dentist and they went on to go get their toys or whatever. And so I'm standing there and thankfully the kids didn't see me. And the woman rings me up and it is a very large, large amount of money that she quotes me.
Even and with the insurance?
With the insurance. And oh, yeah. I, she saw the, she saw me sort of, I got really, really, really lightheaded and dizzy. And she's like, are you okay? And I was like, I can't see so good. She's like, do you need some water? I'm like, yes, I need some water. And Lita could hear her saying this, and Lita's wondering who she was talking to because she couldn't see me. And apparently I like lost all of the color in my face. And the woman came over and steadied me.
Oh, God.
And I looked over at my hygienist and I was like, Lisa, the insurance doesn't cover the sealants. And she's like, oh. And she turned to the receptionist and she's like, I told her that it would cover the sealants. We're giving her the sealants for free. And the receptionist got mad. And they are like staring at each other with these evil eyes. And I'm just standing there trying to like remain upright.
So was it not supposed to cover the sealants and she made a
mistake?
It was
not supposed to cover the sealants. And the receptionist looked at me and said, we have communications problems here.
Oh, my God. You're like, yeah, whatever. Just take that off the bill.
I was like, I've had a day. There was a moment today when I thought my child would never be able to see you again. But everything's okay.
Oh, God.
Somebody hit my car. I'm alive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My kid can see. My kid can see. It's fine. Yeah. Everything's okay.
In the big picture,
mm-hmm.
I don't know where that falls into our parenting mantra, but somewhere buried
what
deep.
We want today is not what we want in the future.
Yeah, what we want now is not what we want later, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
Which I do get. And I think your chores fall into that.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been easier, theoretically, to do those things yourself. But no.
I even was like, okay, Marlo, here's what you need to do. There's a stool downstairs. Turn this knob this way and this knob this way. Hit the start button. Pour in the detergent. Throw in the clothes. Shut it. And I didn't even go check to see if she'd done it right. I was just like, go get it done.
Yeah. I mean, like I was saying, the worst thing that's going to happen is she didn't do it right. Mm-hmm. And you'll probably figure that out when you open the wash. So, you know.
Yeah.
Just some not clean clothes. There are worse things.
But I did last week in the middle of all of just like you said, it's just another thing, right? Like your internet oh, yeah. going out, which by the way, I have an email to send you.
Yes, wonderful. Because yeah, it's still shit.
Yeah. So in the middle of all that, I kept remembering the conversation we had last week and it was just like, okay, like you said, like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Okay, she does the laundry wrong. Okay, my kid can see. That's actually, who cares that I spent 4 hours? My kid can see. This is, and I can afford the lenses. Like, I'm like, this is going to be okay. It's going to be fine.
Right.
It's going to be fine.
Yep, in the big picture. And that, but then there's those little wins, too. Like, your kid can see. I would say that's a big win. But there's the little wins. Because it's also buy new winter stuff season.
Oh God.
Exactly. And it's so hard because and I don't know how it is. I mean, I only have a boy, but so when Lexton was little, you know, it would snow and he's outside for like hours rolling around and building snow, whatever. That's kind of changed. I mean, he will still go out and if he has friends who are going sledding, like he'll do that stuff. But for the most part, not so much. So I don't need like the huge snow pants and this super durable whatever. But he's also now in men's sizes. So everything is automatically more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So I just sucked it up, got him a winter coat. And it came and I took it out of the package and I'm looking at it. And I'm like, holy shit, this will fit me. And I have now reached the point where even if he grows out of it by next year, I'll just wear it.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. I was so excited. It could be like a tiny bit bigger, but it totally fits. And it fits him. And that to me, hell yes, because.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Because even cheap winter coats are not cheap winter coats. They're just not. Especially adult sizes. God.
Costco.
Yeah, I need, so many people have like presented Costco as a solution. I need to get a membership. I don't have one.
Yeah, the winter coats at Costco are durable, and I passed four of them down to Marlo from Lita. Like, yeah, for sure.
That's the other thing that's really not frustrating, just the reality of it. Mm-hmm. There are no boys who are anywhere like close to his age that I know. So there's no one to pass them down to. So we end up, I mean, we bring things to Goodwill or Salvation Army, but it would be like, do you want a winter coat that you can use in 4 years?
Yeah.
Nobody wants that. No one wants to hang on to that. So we just end up getting rid of them. But I can wear it now.
That's a big win for you. I mean, it's not a little thing. It's a big win. Like, you can wear the clothes that you buy for him.
Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, it's awesome. He was less excited about it. But whatever. I don't know. I'll take it.
Leah, you can dent
my car. I'm wearing the coat.
Well, like when I got that notice this morning about my insurance, I did scream in my car, a happy scream in my car by myself. Like, I got up this morning and I looked at my calendar and I was like, oh shit. Like, today is just like, there's no hope of getting anything done today because I'm gone all day long. And like, so I don't know if the anticipatory overwhelmedness sort of when I wake up in the morning is like, okay, here goes. And I'm like, everything's going to be fine. So when I got that letter and I opened it and I found the premium, like, I screamed like a happy, happy, happy scream. And I was like, it's okay. Like, that's a win for today. That's a win.
Yep.
It's a huge win.
You have to. That makes me want to go through the motions and see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Maybe it won't be bad. Although, I don't know. I mean, last year was not bad for me and terrible for you. So maybe we're going to flip.
Yeah.
But fingers crossed. I don't know. I just want to go under for my wisdom teeth.
I want that for you.
That's all I'm asking.
I want that for you. Oh, I mean, man. I went under 10 times, not for the purpose of wisdom teeth, but it is fun.
Yeah. Well, you went under.
I went under. Yeah.
Under, yeah. So yeah. That's, I don't want to go that much under, but I would like to go. I'd like to not remember it because I've never been under in my life ever. But the way that everyone describes it is they kind of remember like going into the room and then they remember waking up. That is how I want to remember my wisdom teeth.
Yes.
I don't want to remember the smell or the sound or the pressure.
Right.
No, they will have to strap me down if I'm not under because I will pass out and then I will jolt back. No, thank you.
Cowboy's daughter had a friend come over to pick her up for, they went to see some spooky thing. And the mom came in with the daughter and to talk to a cowboy for a little bit. And she asked me what I did for a living. And I don't know this woman. They're just friends with his daughter. And I was like, I'm a writer. And she's like, oh, really? Like, and I said, yeah, I have a book coming out next spring. And she's like, well, what is it about? Parenting?
Is that what you told her?
I was like, it's parenting. She was like, really? What's the title? I was like, to be determined.
Oh my God. I guess at a first meeting, you're like, oh yeah, you know, that like
you the know, at first meeting, I don't want to go, oh, guess what I did? Yeah.
Right. Well, it's about the time I died 10 times in a row. Plus, then you know, it's not like the sort of thing we go, oh, that sounds interesting. That's like an hour long conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and then let's get coffee. And then, yeah.
I was super non-specific as I could be.
Parenting. Like, then she's going to see the book come out and be like, what the fuck does this have to do with parenting? What kind of parent is she? Oh, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun navigating the world of telling people what my book is about.
It's going to be great, though, when it's out.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
It's getting there.
You got to get through that healthcare and holidays and election.
I literally just want to make it through Halloween, and then I can take out the next day, and then I can take the next day, and then I'll take the next day. So.
Yep. We're almost there.
Yeah.
And by the time this is out, Halloween will be over. We'll be into November.
Oh, yeah. Holy shit. Yeah.
So I guess happy Halloween, everyone. I hope it was great. Heather dressed up, which should make all of you say, holy shit.
What's in the water? Climate change is real.
Something. Man.
We want you to vote.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to tell you how to vote, although you could probably suspect what we would tell you.
Yeah. But definitely vote.
Definitely vote. Definitely vote. I made sure to have my children watch me a little bit while I was filling out my ballot. And I made very dramatic gestures as I like circled in the little bubbles. Like, this is your civic duty, children.
Yep. Yeah, Lexton asked me if I was, because he knows that I'm voting early. He asked if I was going to do it while he's taking his classes at the high school. And I'm like, no, you're going to come with. I get this big sigh. It's like, oh, why? It's like, because you need to do this when you're old enough to do this, and you need to see the process and realize that it is kind of inconvenient, but also very important. Like, I'm not exactly excited to go vote, but I need to do it.
You know what's more inconvenient is having no anesthesia when you get your wisdom teeth taken out because your healthcare is so shitty.
Exactly.
That's inconvenient.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there's even more inconvenient things, more than that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can pile them on. So, yes, please go vote. I will be voting. Heather already voted. So join us. And, you know, weigh in if you feel like I should have been that creepy guy who was eavesdropping and wanted to speak up. Let me know. Or maybe you think I made the right decision. Or maybe you just think I'm creepy. That's fine. Let us know, as
like
always.
Like you said, when you're at Starbucks, you overhear certain things. It happens.
You can't not, you know.
Yeah. So.
But whatever the case, you can email us, as always, to stories@manicramblings.com or find us on any one of our social channels, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, @ManicRamblings. And, of course, Patreon, still up and going.
Yes.
Which is patreon.com/ManicRamblings. And thank you to our new patrons as well. It means a lot. It keeps this show up and running. So
yes.
Thank you.
And until next time, I hope and pray, my thoughts and prayers are with you if you haven't checked your new premiums for 2019 yet. Hopes and prayers for you. Insurance is good.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.